Welcome to Learning to Live for God with Pastor Steve Akin of Southern Arizona Community Church, located in Green Valley and serving all of Southern Arizona. Join us each week as we help you into a deeper, sanctified walk of grace with Jesus Christ through the teaching and preaching of the Bible as the infallible, inspired Word of God. Now, let's join Pastor Steve with today's message on learning to live for God.
Bear good fruit versus those that bear corrupt fruit and how they look the same. And we're going to pretty much wind that up today. If you're watching us live by the internet right now, I want to welcome you to the Southern Arizona Community Church. It is a great church with great music, and as I often say, if we could just find a pastor that knew how to preach, be in good shape. I hope you come here on Sundays to draw closer to Jesus. If you're coming here to get your time card stamped, you're coming for the wrong reason. I'm telling you, right here in our own little town of Green Valley, there are dozens and dozens of men and women who are going to church or went to church already just out of habit. It's a force of habit. I go to church, therefore I feel better about myself, therefore I'm a very good person, ergo, God has to accept me. That's not what the Bible says. Being a Christian is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. It is all about having a relationship with God, and there's only one way to do that. That's not me talking, that's Jesus himself, John 14:6. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth. Nobody gets to the Father except through him. It is not a religion, it is a relationship. And we believe in this church that the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God. And I told you, I think it was last week, or maybe I mentioned it on Thursday, I had occasion to have a little conversation with a young man. I didn't argue with him because I just don't argue about these things. But he was trying to convince everyone that the words of Jesus in the Gospels that are in red are more important than the rest of the Bible. And I didn't have the heart to tell him, but I told the folks that were there Thursday, if you have a Bible, I like red letter Bibles. I like it. It just makes it easier for me to realize that it's Jesus speaking. So that's a good thing. But this whole idea of putting the words of Jesus in red was a marketing ploy that was taking place in about the 1930s, 1940s. Some marketing genius came up with a way to sell more Bibles, and that's when they began to print the Bibles or the words of Jesus in red. Now, nothing wrong with that, but this young man, you know, he's in his early 20s, young kid, he was insistent that, you know, the words of Jesus are much more important than, no, the words of Jesus are the words of God, don't get me wrong, but the entire scripture was given for a profit for us to draw closer to the Lord. This is why I emphasize to you often that Jesus, when he met those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, explained through the scriptures all of the scriptures concerning himself. So in Genesis, it's all about Jesus. And in Exodus, it's all about Jesus. Numbers, Deuteronomy, you name it, Book of Ruth, all about Jesus. And so you cannot say that any one part of the Bible is more important to the believer than another part, because if you do, you will be out of balance. Now, I'm not saying this kid isn't saved or he's not a Christian. I'm sure he is. I'm not here to question his salvation, but his theology was a little askew, if you will. It's kind of like, I think I said this on Thursday, kind of like having, you know, your tires on the front of your car a little out of balance. It's just going to have your theology is going to be a little out of balance. Today, we are going to spend an awful lot of time in the red verses, but it has nothing to do with this young fella. We're concluding our series, and it was 3 or 4 weeks, on good fruit. How many good trees produce good fruit? All good trees produce good fruit. And this is not fruit that we produce by, you know, banging nails or hitting our head against the wall or straining or struggling. The mark of a true believer, regardless of what church they go to, The mark of a true believer is the change, is the regenerative process that takes place inside the life of a believer. It's the change that marks us as true Christians. And that's not change that you and I do by reading Dr. Phil's latest book. It's not change that you and I do by going through a 12-step program. It's change brought about by God himself in the life of a believer, and it's done through the Holy Spirit. So as you continue to invite the Lord on a daily, hourly, I don't care, on a daily basis, as you continue to invite him to occupy more and more of you on the inside, the life of a true believer is less of you and more of him. And as you continue to allow the Lord to shape and mold your heart, if you will, you will find that you don't need to insist on having it your way every time. You know, if the little missus or your husband wants it to be green and you want it to be blue and you're going to sit there and argue, let it be green, let it be blue. I mean, there's just things you just don't have to have your way all the time. And running parallel with that same truth is the fact that we can come to the Lord and ask him for anything, and we should be asking him for everything. I do not give even a tenth of the, you know, we have the praise and worship team. Normally, I don't go. If I have something cute or nice or really uplifting or something serious, I'll share it, but I don't do it, and I'll tell you why. Because I have so many of my prayers answered on a daily basis in the strangest ways, I just can't explain it to you, and I could preach entire sermons about how the Lord is constantly and continually answering my prayer. Well, that's because you're the pastor. No, it's not. I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like every other man in this auditorium or watching me or listening by radio. I'm nobody special. I mess up. I sin. Occasionally, I'm just a human being, but I am constantly looking to him to make that change in my life, correct me, guide me, lead me, and just direct my paths. But I'm telling you, I have more prayers answered later on now in my Christian walk than I ever did the 30-plus years that I've been a believer. I'm just going to give you a silly example. This did not really happen, but I'm just using it as an example so you get the kind of things that I'm talking about. I can be in line up here at the buffet. What's it called? The Golden something or other? What's it called? Golden Corral. All right. I don't know. I don't. The food's like my Italian grandmother used to say, "Mensa, mensa." It's yeah, okay. But I'm not kidding. Now I'm just making this up, but I want you to understand what I'm talking about. I could be 10th in line and see a piece. My two favorite pies: apple, lemon meringue. Those are the two I like. You know, if you put it in front of me, I'll eat it, obviously. But my two, you know, two. There could be a piece of apple pie on the shelf there, and I could hear the lady say, "That's the last piece of apple pie we don't have," and I could have 10 people in front of me. I'm not kidding you. This is the way my life goes every day. And I could say, "Oh, Lord, I really would like that piece of pie." And the ninth, and I could become eighth, and I could become seventh, and I'm telling you, 10, 15 people could be in front of me, and when I get there, I'm the one walking away with the pie. That kind of stuff, now I'm making that up, but that kind of stuff happens to me all the time. Well, you shouldn't be bothering God about apple pie. Are you kidding me? I bother God for every aspect of my life. I needed a pair of shorts recently, and we go online, you know, because it saves gas, and you know, who wants to drive to Tucson and so on and so forth? Don't have my size. Okay. You know, because I am slimming down a little. It's a joke. But, you know, I ever since I moved to Arizona, I kid you not, it's the air, because all of my clothes are shrinking. It's just it's the dryness, or I don't know. So I'm all, it is. It's right? You understand, Pat. You get me. Of all the people, I got. So I'm on the internet, right? And I'm like, they don't got it, no big deal. And I'm turning to walk away from my computer and I'm like, silly me. You know what, Lord? I really would like a pair of those pants. I'm not kidding you. You know how you
you can't help it now. You go on the internet, they just pop up these advertisements for you. The pants that I wanted popped up, right? I didn't even have to look for them. They just popped up right there on the screen. I am nobody special. I promise you, not a sparrow falls to the ground that your heavenly Father does not know about. Every hair on your head, numbered. He cares about the smallest things. And with that, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to teach you something. One of the things I also said in the last couple of weeks, that Jesus, a little later on in Matthew, we're not going to talk about it today. I think it's in the 9th chapter. I could be wrong. But Jesus said that you can't put new wine into old wineskins. And the Bible, it's a magnificent miracle book. The Bible is written in such a way that it can mean 5 different biblical truths to 5 different people. It can mean one thing to one person and be biblically accurate. Another person can read the exact same verse and it be biblically accurate. And it means it's kind of means a little different thing to all 5 people, yet all be true, yet all be accurate. It's a miracle book. And we're going to look at a very familiar verse here. I believe it's verse 13 in just a second. But most of us, when we look at these verses, we may have been taught, or we may have done a little study on our own, or we may have, you know, whatever, looked it up. And is it the 13th verse that says, broad is the way, narrow is the... Lindsay, what's it say right there real quick? Okay. Now, most of us were taught correctly that just simply means that a lot of people are not going to be Christians. And then he goes on and says that the broad way leads to destruction, and that can mean hell. I believe in a literal hell. I believe Jesus, I don't believe it, I know it, I can prove it to you. Jesus actually, in his red letters, actually spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. You can number the amount of verses that he talked about hell and being separated from God and the numbers that he talked about heaven, and the difference is like this much. He talked more about hell. Why? Because he didn't want anybody to go there. He said that he said in John 3:17, I believe, he who believes not, I might not have that, don't quote me on the verse, but he said, he who believes not is condemned already. So not to choose Jesus is to have made a choice already. You must be born again. And in the Catholic Bible, it says you must be born from above. That is not a religion. That's a relationship. There must come a time, you could have been alone in your bathtub, you could have been watching somebody on TV, you could have been in a meeting like this or listening to us on the internet or on the radio, where you said yes to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And I promise you, by faith, you can trust what he says. He forgave you, and your sins have been paid for. That's it. Jesus didn't say you must be born again and join a religion and take communion and obey all the rules and obey. Now, look, there's a place for that, but that does not save you. Your works never saves you. Your works doesn't keep you. Your hard work for the Lord is wonderful if God calls you to it. But we got a whole lot of friends and relatives in Christian churches that are doing a whole lot of good stuff in their flesh. And the Bible talks about that being wood, hay, and stubble. Here's what I want you to understand, and this is the coolest part. Jesus said those people are going to get saved. They're going to be saved. Their soul will remain. But the works that they do supposedly for the Lord is nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. I don't want anything that you do for the Lord to be wood, hay, or stubble. Your works must come from your relationship with the Lord, never in the place of. So one of these verses that we're going to talk about today, Lindsay just read it, is a verse that most of us know, we've been taught, broad is the way that leads to destruction, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few that, I should say life, and few be there that find it. And we've been taught, and not incorrectly, that those that accept Christ are the ones on the narrow path, those that reject Christ are the ones on the broad path, because that leads to destruction. and that is correct. But I want you to pay attention. Now, this gets back to those wineskins. I don't want anybody in this church or watching me by the internet right now to be in a situation where you're an old wineskin. An old wineskin, Jesus said, you can't put new wine in that. Why? It'll burst. You can't put new wine in an old wineskin because the old wineskin is not pliable. It's not willing to learn. It's not willing to study the word. And this was one of my biggest problems growing up as a Christian, even though I was a pastor in Christian churches, was I learned really well what I was taught. But now the more I study the word of God, and really that's my life. Yeah, I play a little softball when I can. I'll play an occasional racquetball when I can. I spend a little time with my grandsons. But other than getting ready for Thursdays and Sundays and writing a new book, everything I do is consumed with the word. And I'm learning that some of the things that I was taught or some of the things that I took for granted that pastors, men of God, told me, I just took for granted and thought, well, that's got to be accurate and that's got to be true. Not always the case. Paul talked about encountering some folks that said, now we believe you, not because you said it, not because Pastor Steve said it, but because we went and we looked it up. They were called Bereans. And they went and they looked it up on their own, or whatever it was. I can't remember what it was. And they checked the word of God against what Paul was teaching. Said all that to say this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 again. And as Lindsay already read, but I'm going to read it again. Jesus says, enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go therein. That word destruction in there can mean hell, but it also can mean chaos. And that's important, especially if you're going to catch on to this teaching today. We won't be long. We're going to take communion. 14th verse, because straight is the gate. And you've heard pastors bang their fists to stay on the straight and narrow and point their fingers. And that is correct. But can I take you a little deeper today? Can we go just a little bit deeper? Because I'm going to show you something. I'm going to connect the dots for you, and you're going to say, wow, where did he come up with that? I didn't. I'm not this smart. Trust me. The Lord had to show me this. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few be there that find it. Beware of false prophets, and this is what we were talking about, the ones that, you can have two apples that look exactly the same, and one is good fruit, and the other one is corrupt fruit. Until you get on the inside, until you get in the inside of a person, until you realize what they're made of on the inside, you might not know whether they're good fruit or bad fruit. They look the same. And he goes on to say, false prophets, which comes to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they are ravening wolves. I'm telling you, wolves in sheep's clothing look like us. They talk like us. But when you get to the inside, they are not like us. They are serving themselves, or they are serving their belly, or they are serving their wallet. Many of these guys that are on TV, if you just plant seeds in their garden to the tune of $50 to $100 to $50 to $1,000, God's going to bless you. They are serving their own belly. It's rotten fruit. All good trees bring forth good fruit. You shall know them, 16th verse, by their fruits. And as we said last week, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? That's a tough one to understand, but if you want to make it easy on yourself, nobody goes to Home Depot to pick up a prescription. That's really all he's saying. Do men gather grapes from thorns? No. Do you go to Home Depot to pick up a prescription? No. You go to CVS, you go to Walgreens. That's really all he's saying right there. The last thing I want to say, because we talked about false preachers and false teachers and false doctrine, and if you weren't here for that the last couple of weeks, every one of our services is available on our YouTube channel. Just go to our website, click on the YouTube channel, it'll take you right there. If you're watching me by video right now, you want to get caught up on the sermons. And I recommend, seriously, didn't intend on saying this today, but even if you're here on Sundays, spend 45 minutes and go to our YouTube channel if you have a computer and just watch the service again. I promise you, you will learn stuff that you missed even though you're here standing right in front of me. And some of that stuff the Lord wants to use to draw you closer to Him. The mark of good fruit is Jesus. Not their own bellies, not their own pocketbooks, but Jesus and Him crucified. What He did for you on that cross was a finished work, and that is the only mark of good fruit. Good fruit involves drawing you closer to Jesus Christ and understanding what He did for you as a finished work. Someone, and believe me, the more I'm on the YouTube, the more I'm on the radio, the more I'm here, the more I'm encountering folks like this, someone who is looking to constantly be critical or constantly looking to the pastor or the teacher for something that he says wrong or something that he teaches. That's what they sit there and they just wait for something that they disagree with. They are not producing good fruit. They're too busy having their eyes on a man than they are having their eyes on the Lord. You cannot produce good fruit if your eyes are on a man. That's all I'm going to say about this. All right. Enter into the straight gate. Back to 13. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go that way or thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few be there that find it. Now, there's something missing in this verse. There's no accidents in the Bible. Every word that Jesus spoke was important. And I want you to realize that if He didn't speak a particular word, then we have to dig a little further. What am I talking about? I'll get to that in just a second. But He says, narrow is the way. That word narrow, by the way, just simply means compressed, under pressure. We think of narrow like a narrow hallway, and of course it means that, but it means under pressure, and I'm going to get to that as well in the few minutes that we have left. That leads to life. Zoe. One of the things He didn't say, and I'm going to show you right now because Juan or somebody's going to throw up John chapter 3 here. I want you to pay attention. I think I emphasized it, but hopefully it'll show up right here on your screen in just a second. John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. As Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God, must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever, next verse, believes in Him should not perish, but have, that's the word I want you to pay attention to, eternal life. Next verse, if you would, John chapter 5. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, Mr. Red Letter Edition. Jesus was saying this about Himself. Eternal life. John chapter 6, verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has, say it, eternal life. Now, we're going to participate in communion today. This is a symbolic way, although it's got spiritual connotations in it that I'm not going to spend time on today because it's just too many. But when we literally take that bread and drink that cup, we are coming. That's why it's called communion. We are coming in communion with Him. Communion will not save you. Communion is just another outward expression of an inward work that the Lord is doing in your life. And I'm telling you, you place faith, by faith we believe that we are coming in communion with Him. As often as we do this, by taking the bread, which is a symbol of His body, and drinking the juice, which is a symbol of His blood, it is literally life-giving to the believer. And I've seen miracles from people taking communion. You don't have to take communion to get a miracle, but I'm just telling you, it's part of the package that every believer should have in his or her arsenal. We come in communion, but that's for another day. John 10. Go to John 10, if you would, please. And I give them, Jesus said, what's wrong with this one? And I give them, there it is again, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You as a believer can take great comfort in that you walk with Christ, you talk with Christ, he is in you, you are in him, you never need, I'm going to say it one more time, you never need worry about him casting you out. He will not cast you out. He never will. That adoption was complete, it was assured, and it is for you to rest in and take comfort in. How do you do that? You do that by faith. Was that John 10? What was that? I'm getting lost here. John 17, 17, if you would, please. Jesus spoke these words, lifted his eyes up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. Next verse. That your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. The emphasis is on the word eternal. It's, I'm going to murder this, aionosos in the Greek. No beginning, no end. You have, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. As a born-again believer, you will never die. When you close your eyes on this side of heaven, unless the Lord comes back first, when you close your eyes and breathe your last, you open your eyes in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. A born-again believer not fear death. And as a matter of fact, death is an enemy to God. It's the last enemy that God's going to put under his feet. Sermon for another day. But no believer, there's some guys out there that will teach you, well, we go into soul sleep. When you pass away, you will remain in a state of soul sleep. Hey, get out of here with all that crazy stuff. I don't know why they teach it, but what's the point? If you're going to be like Will Robinson on the spacecraft, and they're going to put you and freeze you to sleep, and then you're going to wake up, and the robot's going to say, danger, Will Robinson, danger. Well, what's the point? If you're asleep for 1,000 years or 100 years, you close your eyes, you wake up 1,000 years later, there's no point to it. It's silly. The minute you breathe your last here, you'll open your eyes in heaven. You will not miss a trick. As a matter of fact, I picture it like this. Oh, whoa, what was that all about? Oh, thank you. What else are you going to say when you get there? Thank you, Jesus. I mean, there's nothing else to say except thank you, Jesus. And trust me, heaven will not be boring. Heaven will not be sitting there strumming harps, just singing, ah, hallelujah. It's just, and not, look, you're going to have a place to live. There's going to be fruit to eat there. The Bible tells us that the marriage supper of the Lamb will be there. As a born-again believer, you will participate in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Sermon for another day. Let's keep on this word eternal because I need you to see this. This is important. John 6. But Simon Peter said to him, when Jesus said, are you guys going to go away too? Simon Peter says to him, chapter 6, verse 68. Simon Peter answers him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Thank you for listening to today's message on Learning to Live for God with Pastor Steve Aiken of Southern Arizona Community Church in Green Valley. We hope that you are encouraged and inspired to walk closer to Jesus Christ. We invite you and your family to visit us in person each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at the Community and Performance and Arts Center at 1250 West Continental Road in Green Valley. Just take I-19 to Continental Road, exit 63, and go west and follow the signs to Southern Arizona Community Church. For a Google map, visit our website at soazcc.org. For those unable to attend in person on Sundays, we invite you to listen to this program and also to visit our website at soazcc.org for a link to the live YouTube broadcast of our Sunday service. Our website again is soazcc.org. That's soazcc.org. Join us again next Sunday morning at this same time for another encouraging and inspiring message on Learning to Live for God with Pastor Steve Aiken.